This is on page 749. We're reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 61. The year of the Lord's favour. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Aliens will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards, and you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion, and instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance. And so they will inherit a double portion in their land, and everlasting joy will be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and iniquity. In my faithfulness, I will reward them and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the young plant come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the Sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hello. I have an app on my phone that from BBC News, and it comes up and just makes a little. I can't remember it right now, but I know it's always BBC News, and I always think, oh, what's happened now? But this week we had some good news, didn't we? Good news: Meghan Markle and Prince Harry are getting married. That's great news for Britain. Now, I've got a question for you. What do you think I have in common with Meghan Markle? What do you think? Go on, Alex. Alex, straight away. Well done. Go on. I'm old. Oh, Jane's got another one. Well observed. I'm a beautiful woman. Anything else?
You're married to a prince.
I'm married. actually, me and Meghan Markle have both been in the Church Times. Here she is, Meghan, page 3 of the Church Times, talking about how she's going to get married in the Church of England. She's going to be confirmed and baptised into the Church of England. Here's me, page 33, with my St Hilde College, new face of vicars to come. And there she is, the new face of the royal family. So we do have something in common, but we also have something else in common. Megan is, she's quite big on speaking out about power and justice. In fact, she's a particular theme throughout her life has been women's rights. See, it's good to be a woman, Alex. She's also an ambassador for World Vision, so she's been out to Rwanda and she's helped support safe water out there, clean, safe water. She was also a counsellor for One Young Voice, and she's spoken out about gender equality and about anti-slavery, for modern-day slavery particularly. And on Friday, she was visiting a charity with Prince Harry to support World AIDS Day. And today, I am going to speak to you about power and justice and what that meant for the exiles, what it means, what it meant for Jesus and the early church, and what it means for us today. The truth is, quite often we hear bad news, don't we? And we expect bad news with our headlines. We just had a bit of bad news for our parish. The headline may have read, we were £100,000 off the mark for tenders. So we've got bad news. But in the national news, there's quite a lot of bad news as well. What's Trump been up to? Or what's the latest round of ethnic cleansing that's happened in the world? What is happening in the totalitarian regimes? What natural disaster has happened, and what's the death toll there? Maybe it's some political wranglings that happen, or you've heard of a shooting in a town or a village, or another terrorist atrocity or rapist. There's lots of bad news that comes up and pings up as the headline, and I don't know how that makes you feel. I have a sinking feeling. Sometimes I don't even want to read the news, kind of hide from it because it's all bad. Maybe it makes you feel really depressed and sad and out of control. Maybe it makes you feel angry. Or maybe you're having sleepless nights over it. Now, the Israelite exiles, they weren't foreign to bad news, to strangers to bad news. They were surrounded bad news, but to be fair, they'd mostly created it. And this would be their headline, warning, God lets people make their own decisions. I think that would be their headline, because they turn their back on God. And for hundreds of years, they decided to do what they like with their land. They had turned their back and been unjust to their own kind, particularly to widows and to orphans. And they'd also decided they were going to hook up with the Babylonians, which was a big, majorly bad decision for them. Because what happened after that was the Babylonians betrayed them, and they took them out of Israel, and they raped their women, they killed a lot of their families, and they looted their temple and Jerusalem. Basically, it was bad news for them, and they became slaves as well. Now, God didn't, of course, want for these things to happen, but it was because they turned away from God that, and through their unfaithfulness to God, that those things did happen. So God allows his people, us, to make our own decisions so that we can turn back to him. And if we listen to him, we know he is with us and he's carrying us. But if we walk away and go our own way, he lets us face the consequences for our sin and waits for us to turn back to him. Now, the exiles, they wanted God to liberate them. In fact, in several of the Jewish texts of that time, the Israelites expressed how they wanted God to do that. They wanted God to condemn them and to pour out wrath and destruction on them. But there's good news, and the prophet brings good news. God's purpose for them will be fulfilled. And throughout Isaiah, there's a picture of a strange anointed figure who will perform the Lord's will. And 600 years later, Jesus walks into a synagogue in Nazareth, in his hometown, and it's written in Luke 4 that he opened the scroll and he read verses 1 and 2 of Isaiah, which prophetically speak of a Messiah who will be blessed and empowered by the Spirit of the Lord God. And when he sat down, he simply said this, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." The headline here is that Jesus is the person described in Isaiah. And he is the one the Spirit of the Lord God is upon. He is the Messiah. But the Messiah brings more good news. He says that he's going to set his prisoners free. And he announces that there's going to be a healing to the damage that's been done through sin. There will be redemption in his work. His news is that because sin deprives, he will bring good news to the poor. Because sin breaks hearts, he will bind up the brokenhearted. Because sin makes captives, he's going to proclaim freedom to the captives and release for the prisoners. And because sin oppresses, he will proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Now, Jesus stops partway through verse 2 that we've got written in our text. He doesn't speak of vengeance or on the evildoers as the exiles do. He stops there. Instead, he seems to draw on the larger picture of Isaiah and elsewhere, which speaks of Israel being called to the light of the nations. The servant Messiah hasn't come to inflict punishment on the nations, but to bring God's love and mercy to them. But there's more good news. The headline is, "Mourners no more." Because sin brings grief, he will comfort all who mourn. And how he does this is beautifully described in Isaiah. He said, instead of ashes, there'll be mourning. And he gives people beauty. Instead of ashes of mourning, there'll be beauty. And instead of mourning itself, he gives the oil of joy. And instead of the spirit of heaviness, he gives the people the garment of praise. And there is a time when it's right to mourn and be in grief and weep. But we don't want to indulge in that because Jesus has something so much better for us. He dresses us in beauty and joy and praise. And there's more good news. A new name will be given. They will be called Oaks of Righteousness. The restored place of God's people is glorious, it's strong, it's beautiful, and it's as useful as oak trees. Oak trees of righteousness. Righteousness is about a right social order, the proper distribution of goods and honour. It's justice. That's why safeguarding is so important in our church, because we want our news to be good news, not bad news, and we want to protect our roots and our trees. I've been spending quite a bit of time in Glossopdale School as a school pastor there, and I've been doing it since September, and it's been a great opportunity to get to know the students. And sometimes they just want to say hello to me. Sometimes there's a desperate situation in their life that they want to share, and my prayer for them is that they would be able to turn their ashes into beauty. But quite often they just want to ask me my views as a Christian. I'm going to tell you the top 5 questions that I get asked by students in Glossopdale, and these are their words, not mine. Are you a fundamental Christian or a liberal Christian? They want to know that. Do you hate gay people? What are your views on abortion? And I'm going to paraphrase this, but I've been asked this kind of question a couple of times. I'm an atheist and I hate life, and it's really bad and dark out there, and I'm feeling maybe a bit depressed, but don't believe in an afterlife. What do you think you can do to help me? And this is my favourite. In fact, to be fair, only one person has said this to me, but I've had it said to me elsewhere outside Glossopdale. I kind of forced it out of this poor chap as well. He said he didn't want to offend me, but his question was, are Christians stupid? My response to him was, have you ever asked a Christian why they believe in God? And he said, don't know any. So, and then there was a little light bulb in his head. He was like, oh, there's one right in front of me. We had a great conversation. So these are really big questions, and usually there's about five friends that are all huddling around because they want to know what I think about it. Me, the oak of righteousness, has to say about the matter. And I say, and what I say matters because I am a representative for all Christians over the world in Glossopdale School. And that's the power I've been given in that place, and it's scary. And I don't have all the answers overnight, but I've read scripture and I've prayed and I've been tempted to go in all different directions with my decisions over some of these questions. But I find with the Spirit of God on me, there is a spirit of freedom, joy and transformation. And I want to be an oak of righteousness in that place and wherever I go. Not in a condemning way, but in a proper way, the Jesus way, with love and mercy and care for others. And the early church, they knew that power of Jesus to transform people. And the people couldn't help but tell others about it. There is a living Saviour and he has come. He empowers us to live righteousness lives. But how can we do that? I think we're called to be part of the news. God wants us to be part of the news. Let's go back to the beginning of Isaiah 61. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." Do you know, when the Spirit of the Lord is on someone, it's hard to deny it. It's there for you, know it's on you, and everyone else does as well. But it didn't just happen in that moment. For Jesus, it would have been years of intense training that Jesus went through. Reading scripture with the Spirit, being baptized in the Spirit, being in a time in the wilderness with the Spirit. Oak trees don't just grow overnight. They take decades. But Jesus needed the Spirit of God on him. And if Jesus needed the Spirit of God, how much more do we need it? And there's also recognition by the anointing that was given to Jesus. Often we get an anointing of oil, which gives an authority or a commissioning to do something for God. And as Christians under the new covenant, we have that anointing. In the New Testament, in a New Testament sense, anointing has the idea of being filled with the Holy Spirit, being blessed by the Holy Spirit. And as God's people, under that anointing of the Spirit and in the ministry of the Messiah, we have a holy occupation. So with that Spirit of God and with that anointing, these are the headlines. Ruins rebuilt. God loves to rebuild and restore. Even if it's been like rubble for generations and it feels helpless, God wants to rebuild it. What needs rebuilding in Glossop? What needs rebuilding in the world? What are the headlines that you would like to see for our town, for our world? I'm just going to give you a minute to talk to the person next to you and share with them what's on your heart, what needs building, what headlines would you like to see in the newspaper? And I'll call you back and we'll have a chat about it. Thank you. Okay, I don't know if that's enough of a chat. Maybe you can talk about it a bit more afterwards, but hopefully you've got a couple of different ideas there. Can I just have a show of hands? Who feels like it's almost helpless, the situation? Who feels like it's too big? Maybe they can't do anything about it themselves. Can we have a show of hands? Or are you all... I've got a few over there. Yeah. I think sometimes it feels too big. When I look at the situation with ISIS, I think that's, what can I do about it? It's so big, there's not much that I can do about it. Rich was telling me a story this morning that he'd signed a petition for some prisoners to be released. And they've been released. Wasn't that great news? We can do something simple like signing a petition and praying. But I think we need to ask for miracles. We need to ask God to do things that only God can do. And when we look at our community, when we look at our world, we need to look at that and ask for a miracle and pray. We need to remind God in our prayers, what places do we want rebuilding? The second headline is, God to release captives. So when we pray for these miracles, that we need to take on, like, there was an Old Testament prayer that people used to do, that when they heard the answer, even if they hadn't seen the result of it yet, they would pray as if it had happened. So we praise God for what he is going to do. So God to release captives, he's already done it. We're going to praise him for what he said he will do. God has clothed us in garments of salvation and robes of righteousness. So we need to dress ourselves like a miracle has already happened. Now, I think that's a little bit what Meghan Markle's doing. She's not the princess yet, or whatever her title will be, Duchess. But she's stepped into a royal outfit. And as I watched her on footage this week, walking around Nottingham, she looked like she was royalty already. And how she greeted the crowds, and how she's planning already to give up a career of acting because she wants to focus on social justice. And it's as though she's already wearing her robes. She isn't going to hide them away from anyone, and she's going to step out in them and fully use them for good. And I'm excited about that. I'm excited. But there's a sense also that these garments, we need to let them grow. We can't make them grow, because you can't make something grow, can you? But, and I think actually, as we're kind of in this period between vicars, it's tempting to just be in a situation of maintenance. Let's just keep things as they are. But I don't think we can stop the Spirit growing. We shouldn't stop the Spirit growing. We should continue to provide the right environment for our seeds to bud and grow and be fruitful. And that's how we receive, and that's how we flourish in God's blessings, by putting our hearts and minds in the right environment. That environment of faith and fellowship and obedience to see God's blessing grow and flourish. Let's use this time between vicars and during Advent to prepare ourselves for growth, as we remember the coming news of God's surprising grace. I'm going to try something now. You've all spoken about things that you are particularly on your hearts, that you want to see a miracle, the headlines that you want to see. And I'd like us to pray for those miracles. Let the Spirit of the Lord move amongst us and pray out for those miracles now. It just needs to be one sentence of something, a miracle that you want to see God happen in our world, justice, power to happen. So I'm just going to open up this time. And if anybody wants to pray out, please do. Father God, we pray for miracles. We pray that your justice will come in this place. Father, we thank you that you are a God of miracles. And we pray, we trust you with all our prayers. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. And it might be that at the moment you feel like you're one of those prisoners and you want to be set free, or that you're in a place of grief and mourning and you want to know what it is to turn ashes into beauty, to wear a crown of joy. Or it could be that you want to grow your oak of righteousness. Or maybe you don't know the Messiah and you want to get to know the Messiah. And if that's you, we want to offer prayer for you after our worship time together. And it will just be over by the font here. So during the last worship song together and after the service, there will be a prayer team meeting over there that would love to pray for you. I'm going to invite the worship team back up, please. And they're going to lead us in our final two songs. Can I ask you to stand, please, if you're able?